This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. That was Poncho Sanchez with a little number he called Next Exit. The composer and band leader, of course, is the person who put it together, percussionist and conguero that he is. Sanchez leads the band with his customary authority on music. This is from his 2001 album, Latin Spirits. And today, well, we hope to engage your spirit in the way we are going to be tackling this program today. And once, what I would like to do is to get from you a sense of how should I put it? And I'm going just on the basis of what we experienced this week, we seem to have an idea that just about anything we can do anything, we could think anything. And it bothered me particularly with regard to our feelings being expressed this week on, you know, what we're thinking and how we're thinking about things. We talked about the situation in Haiti and what we thought about it, what we were feeling about it. And in the midst of all of that, something came up that troubled me a bit. And I thought I would talk about that, see what you think. What troubled me about it was the ease with which many who spoke on the show essentially went deep into this business of conspiracy theories. And I was a bit surprised about that. I was surprised about it because I thought, and I've always thought of this audience as being a very, you know, a deep thinking audience. And I was a bit taken aback by the ease with which people dove so deep into this business of conspiracy theories. And in some cases, I thought of it as a challenge to the program itself. I mean, are we accomplishing anything by telling people, you know, you have to start thinking differently. No, you don't have to, but it would be very good if you start thinking critically, think comprehensively about what you're saying. Don't just talk because you're talking. Let's see if we can get to this reason why so comfortable with postulating what I would call conspiracy theories. And putting them out there as if they were so legitimate and that you believed in them. Now, understand me. What you believe or choose to believe is your business. I was taken aback by the freewheeling attitude that seemed to suggest you didn't care what anybody thought, many of you who spoke. And this was your view, and take it or leave it kind of thing.
That surprised me quite a bit.
And the gusto, the energy invested in communicating theories and, quote, facts, unquote, about this world without any sort of reference to, you know, to suggest that, well, you've read something about it, or such and such an authority said this and another one said that, that you've done some kind of comparative analysis, that you've done some reading, you haven't taken in anybody's point of view wholesale without having an independent appraisal of the authenticity of the so-called facts, or just having any appreciation as to whether these are facts that you're talking. And I felt a little sad because we spent a long time trying to improve ourselves and our ability to think, because in fact it is our only protection, our only real protection, is to maintain an independence of mind. The one thing that our enemies are after is exactly that, our minds. And so it was alarming to me that some people, made presentations completely based on hodgepodge ideas and making it sound as if they were satisfied that these ideas and opinions that they were reading and these conclusions that they themselves came to, which were really not their own, but were others, but they never were able, and it didn't dawn on them that they were telling us in so many ways they had bought somebody's ideas, hook, line, and sinker. I thought it to be a very sad thing. I was very, very sad after the program because I was waiting, at least in the middle of all that, you know, efficient sounding, fact sounding stuff. I was waiting for a glimmer of hope that you kept your mind open to the fact that, well, this is what Joe Doak said, this is what Mary Moak said, and this is what Peter Pokes has said. And I find myself leaning more toward what Peter Pokes is saying because A, B, C, and D. We are, after all, supposed to be a thinking people. So it troubled me that we took wholesale somebody else's thinking on it and just adopted it as our own. We threw caution to the wind. In many cases, I didn't hear anybody even suggest that they had taken a similar view, even. But they differed on this point, that point, the next point. So I started asking myself, are we learning anything? Or is it enough to just make a
posture. And that's enough. We need to sound like we know what we're talking about. Are we learning how to digest materials that we ourselves did not generate? Are we learning how to be discriminatory in our selection of what to believe and what not to believe? Do we have any reserve caution? Or is it more important for us to, in a public setting, to sound like we know what we're talking about? And that being more important than knowing what we're talking about, just to sound like it. And for yourselves, are you learning to maintain a sense of independence, to keep yourself insulated and isolated from undue influence, that you adopt somebody's thinking as your own? Are you learning anything? Is it important to you to be able to rattle off a bunch of things that were said, and you agree because such and such a person said it? Or is it more important to you to postulate that you were intrigued with this idea until you started looking a little deeper at it and you found these contradictions? And now that you found these contradictions, you don't know what to think. That is very natural. That is very authentic to me. In the end, I would say I'm not interested in what you are thinking. I'm interested in that you are thinking. And that you're developing the discipline and methodology of thought. Where do you get your information from? What feeds your knowledge of the world around you? Why is it important to constantly carp that what you believe when you haven't, and it's very clear that you, on your own, you haven't done a whit of research? You haven't done any extra reading. You haven't troubled yourself to examine what you supposedly are thinking. That is the borrowed information that you have and are operating with. You haven't examined for contradictions. You haven't looked at it closely enough to say, well, wait a minute. That seems to contradict what was said earlier. Now I'm troubled. The inescapable truth is this: no matter where you are on the spectrum of thought and thinking, somebody wants your mind. It is the very essence of you, and therefore it is the way ultimately to control people. Just grab their mind and keep it. Discourage further examination. Discourage question. Discourage thought. And then they have you for life. And that means you become completely useless to this thing that we talk about in revolution or change or seeing things in a different way for yourself as well as for the larger community. You're of no use because you become embroiled in a specifically or exclusively personal journey. You kid yourself that you are on this journey, but you're really not on a journey. A courageous thinker. You have to take the risk that what you're thinking is totally wrong or outdated and outmoded, or that it is somebody else's idea seeking a fertile soil in which to plant itself. And if you incorporate the so-called knowledge wholesale, you don't parse it, you don't inspect it closely, you just take for granted, well, it was written by a guy who wrote this book. He had to be smart. You'd be amazed how wrong we can be by being so simplistic in our analysis of things. The one good thing we have going for us, and this in a sense proves that there is a God, if you want to put it this way, is the ability to think, to examine, to decipher, to question ourselves, to question that which we think. You're growing. You are useful. Because your mind and the natural proclivities of the mind to know more, to know truth, that's exactly where you come to. You come to that point where no matter what it is you thought you would have thought, you arrive at a place where you don't know any longer whether you believe what you believed, because you haven't examined for contradictions. You refuse to see contradictions. That is my greatest hope for everyone. It is wonderful to get together and talk, to exchange ideas, to push ourselves more and more into a subject, to query more and more what this world is all about. Are we, in fact, being told the truth? What is this truth that we keep talking about? How do we know? On our own, how do we arrive at a point of satisfaction that what we know is defensible? It's true. How do we question that which we suspect is neither true, but has a whole different objective? The battle has not stopped. The battle is for your mind. It may look impressive, bound by hardcover and really nice graphics and whatnot. It may sound very good until you say, well, let me now pause right here and I'll take it down a little further, a notch or two, so that I could understand it. And I can further examine whether this is something I let into my head, or just say, well, it was interesting, but not so interesting that I would make it a permanent part of my library. We like to think of ourselves as being very smart, very intelligent, very discerning. We can easily suspect things that are not true or not accurate, not feasible, not sensible, not logical. But we doubt our own ability to question. So we don't question, because it comes from this source or that source, and they are the leading people right now in public critique. So you go with them. They may not know what the heck they're talking about. And you wouldn't either until you look at information with a very discerning eye and ear. So when I heard it from different people, very lovely people, they call the show regularly, they contribute very powerfully to the content of the program as a whole, and you're likely to give them a pass. And then I realized that many of these people were actually parroting stuff that they should have been questioning. They're passing the germ along. They're not doing critical analysis. They're not reading. They're not subjecting the information that they're working with, or they choose to work with, to critical analysis, which means they are completely open to influence. They are not questioning. They're not growing. They've become lazy intellectually. And so they're not inclined to put to the test anything that automatically should be ringing a bell in their heads. Well, I don't agree with that. That didn't sound right. Let me check this out. But they take wholesale what is offered as progressive thinking or even radical thinking, and they repeat it. And in the repetition of that kind of information, they find solace that they are growing intellectually, when in fact it's the exact opposite. They're not growing at all. And because it was occurring, because I listen very, very, very carefully to what people are saying, because it is a huge hint as to what they're thinking and how they think. And I felt sad yesterday. Many times, I'm listening to what I'm hearing, to the people calling in, I'm listening to their offering, and there was no indication of independent appraisal of what it is they chose to consume as information. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute. Are these the same smart people that I know? Are these the people who are critical thinkers? And I concluded that it was a fast fix. They wanted some information, or to amass some amount of information that would permit them to portray themselves as being in the know, as being knowledgeable, as being critical thinkers, but in fact they were not. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and I said, we have to have a conversation about this. Because I concluded that we should ask the question now, are we progressing? Are we learning anything? Are we making sense of our universe? Are we applying really important principles to what it is we consume and what we stash in our memory bank as information? Or are we faking it? We just want to sound like we know what we're talking about, but we don't really know what we're talking about. We just want to sound like it. It's for show. And I thought I would ask you to do your own inventory and ask yourself whether you are growing or not intellectually. An honest appraisal. Are you reading enough? Are you analytical enough? Are you thinking for yourself a correct way to arrive at certain understandings or truths of things? Because more and more you will be influencing others. And we have an opportunity to stop dead in its tracks the propensity to be a germ spreader. We spread germs. We call it, or choose to call it, you know, brain people, and, you know, we intelligent people. And for all kinds of reasons, we want to be known. But we're not doing a good job of keeping house. We're falling for the temptation of, oh, that person really knows what they're talking about. That's only because we haven't really had a deep conversation that puts you on point, that would reveal in an instant whether you have an intellect, whether you've been developing in that regard, whether it has been a priority for you to truly understand this world that we're living in, so that you could make a singular contribution to it. Or we just, as the great philosopher James Brown says, we're talking loud and saying nothing. Or he put it another way. He said, like a dull knife, just ain't cutting. Talking loud, saying nothing. Have we become just clanging cymbals and noisemakers and people desperate to convince and console ourselves that we are so smart that we forgot how to think? And now it's gotten worse. We are terrified at the prospect of thought. We don't want to do that. It's hard work, for one thing. And then you have to examine for internal contradictions. How are you going to do that if you don't feel strong enough? I want us to encourage ourselves and each other to walk the path, the hard path, the true path, seeking out information and making it useful to us. Because I'm assuming that we each have some kind of concern about a possible role in improving our society. It's not about strutting around and trying to impress people so that we get accolades and praises and whatnot. It is about really examining, are you being fed right? You know, for many years when I lived in New York, people would say, but we don't see you all over the place. How come? I find it boring. I've been through enough of those show and tell things where there is no purpose, really, except to flaunt one's feathers. There's no zeal, no energy for true discourse. You don't come away learning anything or much. So I stopped. It was torture to me. If I go to something and I can't walk away feeling, well, I learned three things, three very important things, and I will now proceed to develop these things because I want to know more. We are in the world where we are babysitting ourselves, and we do that by accepting untruths. We're not learning. Worse, we don't particularly want to learn. That's hard work. When I started out early enough, I worked in Harlem. I was working at a bank. And joy of joys, the bank was right across the street, directly across the street from the Schomburg Library. I was the happiest person that you could meet because of that. Every chance I got, I'm in the library. I'm reading voraciously. I couldn't wait to get on to the next chapter to pick up from where I left off. I couldn't believe my good luck. I had a pretty crappy job, but you know, I was a student. I needed to pay my bills and whatnot. It wasn't a glorious endeavor. But just the whole idea of being within eyesight of this library, people couldn't understand. What is going on in your head? I said, I landed in the perfect place. The manager of the bank decided that there was something wrong with that. If I had a half-hour break, that's where you'll find me. After work, that's where I'm going. And after leaving that job and moving on, I still could not break my ties with this library. I did everything possible to encourage people to discover the wonder, the beauty, the sheer accident, an incredible accident, that this resource was right there, available to them, because one man, Arturo Schomburg, decided this is what he will devote his life to, providing the means where people can educate themselves, find their own way to truth. Sacrificing his own finances. I mean, he must have been horrible to live with, because that was a self-sacrificing endeavor. My manager was not pleased with my decision. When you miss me, I'm downstairs. I'm reading and having a great time discovering things that I never knew before. Nobody was interested in the conversation about that. So very often, I was by myself. I didn't mind. I was having the greatest time of all. Look at all of that. A whole building, imagine that. A whole building with knowledge in it. And I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. Later on, as I got more involved in the news business, of course you attend community events, and you see the yawning gap between what was real and what people imagined was real. And the intention, this is, wasn't accidental, it wasn't a freak of nature. They're not reading. They're not paying attention. They're not as excited as I was to see before you all the proof you need about all kinds of subjects. And all you have to do is read. Imagine that. And increasingly, I became very, I was kind of lonely on the job. I still had a very effervescent character and attitude. I did my job very well, but I can feel that gate come down. Who are you trying to be? What are you trying to do? I'm just trying to learn. I'm just immersing myself in this incredible resource. And the sheer luck that I would find a job right across the street from the library, I was in heaven. I couldn't care less about all the other things that were going on in my life. I was poor, had no money, blah, 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 blah. But guess what? I was one of the happiest people you would ever have met. Because of that simple fact that I can go into that library and immerse myself in learning. We seem to we seem not to understand how important that is anymore. We seem to be like, you know, runaway models. We strut our stuff so that other people can see it on us, not in us, but on us. And that gives us incredible satisfaction. We're not being real. We're not being genuine. We're not investing in ourselves. We're not honoring the work of people who literally gave their life and their lifeblood to a cause, and that is to shape our minds, to help us protect ourselves, to help us form new visions, to take us beyond the planned constructs that we are supposed to live until we die. I wanted to say to you today, I want you to be proud, just even of the effort that you make, a sincere effort to improve yourself. It doesn't matter whether it's in line with this person's way of thinking or that person's way of thinking or this philosophy or that philosophy. I don't concern myself with that. That is completely irrelevant. What is important is, how are you making use of precious things like the legacies that people have created and left for us that are completely free, completely available to you to develop yourself so that you in turn can contribute to the rest of the world? One caller started calling regularly, and I was very happy about that. And usually would begin every interaction with, "I'm a Muslim." Okay. Nobody said that you weren't. But in any event, why is that your qualifier? I'm a Muslim. How does that affect your sense of awareness about yourself, your history, your culture? It is more important to him, and he did it again yesterday. "I'm a Muslim. I don't care whether you're a Zoroastrian. You have to be somebody. I'm interested in what have you been building all this time with your Muslim self? What have you been constructing that I would find admirable and worth emulating, or that I could look forward to learning from?" There are Muslims in my family. And it's the same question I asked them. What does it mean to me that you are a Muslim or a Catholic or this or that? What does it mean to the rest of the world when you're doing no work? No intellectual work is happening there. You might as well be a cactus or a lizard. But if you understand your purpose in life and what has brought you to this particular point. You can't be so blasé, so casual about it. You would know that every time you affirm these things, you should be thinking, how far away are you from the goals and objectives and the ideals of the thing that you affirm? So it's not just about it's a program and I'm hosting. That doesn't mean anything. What means something to me is that it sparks a revolution in your head. You've got to get out of your head. You've got to learn. You've got to do analysis all the time. Who is saying what? What is the relevance of what that person is saying, or the lack thereof? That's how you make a very important contribution, because now you become a lightning rod. Nobody could be in your presence, in your arena of control, and be stupid. It's that simple. Nobody would dare be stupid. Not in your presence, because you exhibit the best traits of a learner, of a person desiring to understand this world. And in understanding it, you can now share what you know. Sometimes it comes at a very high price. But it is the work that is important, not the price, the work. It was on my mind so much that I didn't sleep well. I didn't like the trend that I was feeling from the audience calling in. Talking, but not thinking. It is time to think. It is always time to think. And I urge you, if you haven't done it before, to make it a habit to think. And to think critically. That way, you will serve a great purpose in our community. And that way, you show love. Let's talk again tomorrow. I thank you for indulging me, this little sermonette. But it really made a mark on me yesterday. And I thought I should express the consequence of it. And there's no time to waste to pick up the pace and self-correct. We all should be in each other's backyard, if you will. We should be taking care of business, seeing to it that you're well and you're thinking well. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.